The crisis in Cuba is our topic right now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Julio Gonzalez, who ultimately is from Cuba, and his family is from Cuba. And he's going to discuss with us now the horrors of communism and Cuba. And his website, by the way, is engineeredtaxservices.com. Julio, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for, you know, educating the people on this topic. It's horrendous. We have family there. We've lost complete contact with them, right? They've shut down all communications over there on the island, where they don't have food, they don't have water, they don't have power, they don't have medical supplies. People are, you know, standing up and protesting this, but they're now have arrested those people. We may never see those people again, right? And we don't have an administration here that's willing to give some amnesty and help out, and it's just been completely tragic.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, too, that you have people on the American left, like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she blames the U.S. embargo, but she, you know, is mum on the subject of communism being to blame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it has nothing to do with the embargo. I mean, it absolutely has everything to do with, you know, the communism. And I'm certainly that was, you know, elevated by the pandemic and no tourism, right, that came in there. I mean, that had nothing to do with us. And meanwhile, it's okay for her and her team to let 180,000 people come over the southern border here to the United States while we can't even reach out and bring some of these great people to our country to help them and just give them a chance to survive.
You know, I can't almost feel help but feel cynical and think, yeah, well, if the Cubans came here, they would vote Republican, but the other ones will vote Democrat.
Well, I mean, they certainly appreciate what we have in this country, which is obviously the opportunity to be successful, have capitalism. I mean, I think clearly you saw in the last election that the South Florida and the Hispanic community came out for President Trump because they agree with those values. And so you're definitely right there, but certainly don't we need to help them out?
Absolutely. The founder of the 1619 Project, which is a very liberal group, they're endorsed by the New York Times. It's actually a part of the New York Times, and they teach that, you know, America's real beginnings are were not 1776, but 1619, when the first slaves came over. And the lady who wrote the report for the New York Times, the 1619 Project, she actually said, of all the different countries in the Western Hemisphere, Cuba has done the best job in terms of solving the problem of racism. She said that a couple of years ago, but still, what are your thoughts of that as a Cuban American?
You know, all these people, including that person, continuing to say these things that aren't factual. I mean, go over there, spend a year there, spend a day there, and realize how horrible it is. You know, all these people that are protesting the U.S. flag here in our country and saying that Cuba is a much better country, you know, trade. We'll trade their citizens that want to be here, and you can go there. I mean, when you live there, and obviously my family came from there, and I have a lot of family there, it's horrific. Can you imagine not having access to food, water, no power, no medical supplies? And they think that that's a great structure to be in. I mean, it's horrific. I mean, people are barely surviving right now. The lines to get water are 8 miles long. And if you get water, it's, you know, you're getting a cup for a week. I mean, this is ridiculous. Anyone that thinks that communism is great should go over there and spend some time there.
I understand that food is rationed. I heard something about the average Cuban family can get maybe 5 eggs a month or something like that.
It's true. If they get that. And if you get that, you're in a long line with a lot of people that are suffering in this pandemic with no medical supplies, no hospital care. So, again, everyone speaks as though there's some great, amazing place there, but that's not the truth. I mean, if anyone went over there and lived the life that the people there do, they would quickly see how great America really is.
medical care is something that the left has often touted Cuba, you know, for. I mean, for example, Michael Moore, the filmmaker, made a movie called Sicko, and it's about 10 or 15 years old, but he's basically blasting the American medical, you know, the American healthcare system and so forth. And he was basically implying that the healthcare for the average Cuban is much better.
There is no healthcare there. There are no medical supplies. The hospitals are basically abandoned and have no power. They have access to zero supplies for medical. So there's no way that there's even a comparison to our system that has vaccines, has hospitals that can service the people that are ill here. I mean, there's just, it's just straight out lies. It's all media propaganda, but it's not backed up by the truth. And the truth is they have nothing.
I believe somebody within the Biden administration even said that these recent protests are because the people don't have the vaccine because the Americans are not sharing the vaccines, you know, with them, you know, to fight COVID.
Yeah, listen, they have the ability to get vaccines. They're not doing it. You know, they have a family that's in control there that is, as you see in social media, enjoying themselves, enjoying all the fruits of the Communism Party. They've been clearly vaccinated, and they could get those supplies to the people there. They refuse to.
It is reported that when Fidel Castro died, and he died in 2016, he's the one who made Cuba go, you know, communist, full communist, that he was worth $900 million. In the same context in which I read that statistic, it also said that the average Cuban today gets about 44 U.S. dollars, or the equivalent of 44 U.S. dollars per month, which is about $500, just a little bit more than $500 a year. So, comment on that contrast. And the interesting thing about that contrast is, if you, let's say, compared a real rich man, you know, Jeff Bezos with, you know, the average worker in America, it's not a fair comparison because it's not an either or. Jeff Bezos didn't make his money because that average worker lost all that money to the same degree. But in with the communist system, it is a zero-sum game. So if Castro is real rich and these other people are real poor, maybe there's a link there between those two facts.
Yeah, I mean, that's communism, right? I mean, they own all the businesses. They get all the money, and they ration out less than 1% of every revenue they receive from the businesses they own, at which they own all, to the people. I mean, it's all about Castro, and it's all about his family. And you're right, the 900 million plus. Meanwhile, no one else has any money at all, can't survive, you know, while they live in the palace with all medical supplies. And take some of that 900 million and distribute it to help these people, and maybe you wouldn't have these protests. But yeah, I think the people are saying enough's enough, and we need to survive.
Are these protests unique or unprecedented? I mean, in other words, in 62 years of Fidel Castro's Cuba, it's not a common thing necessarily for the people to go out and protest against the communist government.
You know, it's extremely rare. You know, we had a similar situation about 20 years ago, but at that point, Castro came out and took the big objectors and shipped them to Florida and got rid of those people. And this time around, that's not what they're doing. They're arresting them, putting them in prison, and it's just creating a more volatile situation. And you're right. I mean, this is unprecedented times, but they're controlling it through military, and they're only making the situation get worse, boil over. But without, you know, our administration helping out, you know, we're just going to see people continue to suffer.
I heard that a lot of times neighbors are spying on neighbors or turning people in or that kind of thing. Can you comment about that?
Yeah, it feels like Orson Welles there, really. I mean, 1984. I mean, everyone is spying on everyone. Everyone is turning people in. And, you know, there is really just zero ability to, you know, speak, you know, have any kind of protest. And there's no, obviously, constitutional rights there. So when you see these people that are protesting, I mean, it's got to be dire, right? Because they know that the path for them is prison and torture and maybe death. So that's how bad the situation has become.
Do they have access to the internet?
Internet's completely shut down. So internet was available, and the administration there has completely shut it down.
Is the administration still in the Castro family, or how does that work? I know Fidel died in 2016, Raul was in charge, but what's the situation now?
Yeah, I mean, basically it's still the Castro family that oversees. They're the puppet masters, right? And they have their president in place, but they still reign over the country.
Well, this is like Animal Farm all over again, only it's not about the Soviet Union and Russia. It's about Cuba and Castro. And isn't that amazing? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Animal Farm? You
of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just like that book.
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be more identical. And I think that's a tremendous reference that I've used in the past. It feels a lot like that.
Yeah. How do you must feel a little bit frustrated living now in America when you see all these young Americans who have been miseducated about Cuba and about communism.
Yeah, I mean, they refuse to get, you know, truly educated or speak to the families that have come from there, like my family, and have ties there and, you know, get information from the families that are living there. I mean, to, you know, listen to propaganda and not be well-informed and to make those opinions. It's hard to watch. It's really hard to watch when you think that these people are really in dire situation.
Well, Black Lives Matter is very popular now, and it's certainly true that Black Lives Matter, but the organization is Marxist in its orientation. They even wished Fidel Castro well when he died, and they also said that they, you know, don't support the protesters, and they blame the U.S., for the crisis in Cuba.
And again, you know, put those people over there for just one day and really let them see what the actual truth is, because you can't get any true media coverage out of there, right? Because they shut that down, much like they do in any communist state where you have no ability for the freedom to speech. And, you know, for them to, you know, promote and really adore Castro and the Cuban regime is, you know, really horrific.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Were you born in Cuba?
No, my family came over in 1958, so I was born here in Miami, but I have a lot of family there. And, you know, I've been back a few times, not recently, but every visit just reminds you of how poor the conditions are there. But now they're extreme, and, you know, that island is right in the middle of the hurricane, so it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and tell me about the knocks on the door that the average Cuban can possibly expect if they, you know, say something bad about the government or something.
Oh, it's, you know, it's Animal Farm. They are going to come in and get you and put you in prison, torture you, and kill you. I mean, that's it. I mean, there's no other path.
Wow. Boy, what a change is needed in that government. All right, Julio, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Julio Gonzalez, EngineerTaxServices.com. All the best, Julio. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.